In this episode, Ryan and I discuss Flash Gordon, comic books, a little, Beowulf, and who would win in a foot race, Ryan or Seth Rogen?
This is Genius Boy Radio, live, on demand.
Radio.
Podcast.
Number two.
Episode two, the much anticipated episode two. I just want you to know, Ryan, we had exactly two fan emails, and two people stopped me in the streets and said, what a great job we did on episode one.
And this is in addition to the comments we got on the blog, correct? Which was just a plethora, a full thread of comments.
Yeah, I don't think we got any.
We got, I think, two people said, I'm going to listen to it.
Right, and I haven't heard back from them, and that means it sucks. It was crap.
Well, no, my theory is if you don't hear back, it means they're happy. Because people love to complain, but they don't love to compliment.
That's a good point. So I'm sure they loved it.
I would assume so.
But we received one fan letter from the famous cartoonist Howard Cruz, the award-winning cartoonist.
Fantastic.
And he said he loved the show. And Michael Phillips of sequart.com.org, whatever they're changing their dot to, he loved it. And this is big news. You don't even know about this. This is breaking news. He wants to actually host our podcast on the Sequart website.
Get out. I have one condition, that it be pronounced Sequart.
I'll have to take that up.
It's sequential art, not sequential art.
Yeah, but Sequart sounds pornographic, and Sequart sounds cute.
Sequart sounds like Qbert, the enjoyable kids game.
Oh, man, I love my hopping.
Yeah, it was good, and it was all pyramid.
Hopping
squares.
On
you
squares.
You learned about geometry, and you played. It was fun.
I used to just draw different Qbert layouts. Sometimes I did circles and hexagons.
That's literally all I can draw to this day.
Yeah.
Are basically Qbert layouts.
That's what I did in graduate school. I just drew Qbert layouts. And sometimes I had them go sideways, and sometimes I had them go upside down. And on that note, let's move on.
Now, when my brother says graduate school, he actually was in the playpen at McDonald's for an afternoon. We told him it was graduate school so he'd feel better. So
the slide had a cover on it, so it was like you were in a tunnel. It was amazing.
We called it the learning tunnel.
It was
we're very proud of him.
It's like a roller coaster that lasts for 1 second.
Which is the best roller coaster ever, because they're frightening. Long about an hour before sunrise, she drags his body down to the edge of the swollen river, wrapped in a red velvet curtain. Stolen from the movie theater where she works.
So I thought with our first segment, we could talk about recent DVD purchases. Because even though this is a comic book webcast, podcast, web radio, internet show, let's be honest, you haven't really read any comic books. So I will talk about comic books at some point, but I think DVDs are more on your mind.
Oh, are we on?
Yes.
What was the question? I'm totally kidding. I got a bunch of DVDs today in the mail, and I haven't opened them yet. But I got like the Samuel Fuller set, which I'm very excited about.
Oh yeah, I want to get
the early films of Samuel Fuller, which has I Shot Jesse James and Baron of Arizona with Vincent Price. And
I don't have time to watch this stuff.
The Steel Helmet.
Did you watch Flash Gordon?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
See, I gave you one assignment. I said, before the next podcast, let's both watch Flash Gordon and all the special features so we can make fun of it, and you don't even live up to your end of the bargain.
Did you do it?
Of course.
Ah, damn it.
I watched it with Andrew, and he was scared. Guess what the scariest part of Flash Gordon is? Because it's the same part I was scared of when I was a kid.
When he's sticking his hand in a little
yes.
rock. Yeah,
he was terrified.
Yeah, that's the only part that scared me.
And Timothy Dalton is great in that movie. I love him so much.
Oh, you know what's funny? Speaking of Timothy Dalton, I just watched Hot Fuzz.
Wasn't that brilliant?
Which he is, that movie's great, but Timothy Dalton is amazing.
He's so
great in that movie. Oh, it's hilarious.
That's the best Timothy Dalton parts, Hot Fuzz and Flash Gordon, and I watched them both in the same week. It was brilliant.
That's funny. Because I looked at the box of Flash Gordon, and I saw Timothy Dalton on the back. And I remembered, like, oh, that's right, he's in this. And I was so happy. But again, I still haven't watched it.
See, so I watched it, and it's got an Alex Ross featurette where it's just like this long interview with Alex Ross about why he loves the movie so much.
Right.
And why other people may not love the movie, but he still defends it. But yeah. All his defenses are kind of wrong. The best defense for Flash Gordon, and on the DVD they include the first episode of the serial, the Flash Gordon serial, the Buster Crab serial.
Right, yeah, yeah, which I hear is terrible.
Well, no, if you watch the first episode of the Buster Crab serial, and then you watch the Flash Gordon movie, all the Flash Gordon movie is it's a remake of the Buster Crab serial as if 2001 and Star Wars had never happened. It's like, you know, the high point of special effects in the 80s, as if there weren't other special effects. As if the high point were like a lot more sparks and a lot brighter colors. But it's just the same exact...
And a floor that twisted. Like,
it's the same exact type of models and the same exact set design, except with more colors, as the Buster Crab cereal. It's totally just a remake of the Buster Crab cereal, but brighter. And with like that whole 1960s Mario Bava, Barbarella influence... And it is great.
Italian set design, yes.
It's great, except that's what it is. It's like this alternate reality version where 2001 and Star Wars never happened, and then you get Flash Gordon instead. But it's a blast. And Sam Jones is horrible. He just shouts every single line. He's got two acting modes. He's got the shouting mode, Flash Gordon, quarterback, New York Jets, and he's got the very sensitive, sweet-talking side, which he only shows on the airplane before they're about to crash.
Oh my God, this girl's really turning me on.
Yes, that is great.
But you started talking about what Alex Ross said and then went strangely into a weird tangent.
Well, because he didn't say that as the defense. He was just saying how
that's so your defense is the only real defense, basically. It's the only right defense.
He was implying that, but he was pointing out things that Flash Gordon does really well.
Yeah.
And he was just trying really hard to make everybody see how awesome it is. And he's like, I just love it.
Yeah, but that's a good enough read. It's someone just like, I really like it, because especially if an artist likes something, because generally I assume Alex Ross was inspired by it in some way.
But like, he was.
There's probably things he's subconsciously stolen, like just setups and that kind of stuff that you steal. So,
well, if you go to a comic book convention, the logo, the giant Alex Ross banner, is just the Flash Gordon logo.
Oh.
It's the same thing with the lightning bolt in the middle and the colors.
I've seen that, actually.
Right,
yeah,
it's just Flash Gordon. Yeah. But not that his defense is bad, necessarily, but it's just he says things as...
He tries to intellectualize more than he should because it's just a movie he likes.
Right.
And, yeah, I've seen that defense a lot.
But he also says things as if Flash Gordon was the first movie to do a lot of these things.
Right,
he's like,
it's really great
because it does this, this, and this. And it's like, yeah, but a million movies did that before it.
Right. And then
I think he's defending why it's better than Star Wars in some way. I don't even remember what he said. And then there's an interview with Lorenzo Semple, who was the writer of it. And he also wrote the Batman, campy TV show.
Yeah.
And he's like, he said he didn't even really watch the Buster Crab episodes or read the comic strip, but he just kind of knew what Flash Gordon was about.
That's all the research I would do, too. Like, just the cultural osmosis level of research.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's how I believe they actually made the film The Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
With Demi Moore. They didn't read the book or see any previous movies. They're like, we know, but she's got a big letter and she's...
If I remember correctly, I think Robert Duvall comes in on a horseback at some point. Because that seems to fit. I remember that from The Dust Jacket.
Can we tie a knight into this film as well?
But here's the other DVD news I have. I bought Rome Season 2.
Right.
And I haven't seen Deadwood Season 3, and even though I want to watch it, I ended up watching Rome Season 2 first.
Okay.
And I love Rome so much, but the special edition of Rome at Best Buy, it came with a gift. Did you see it at Best Buy?
No, I don't buy it from Best Buy.
So you know how at Best Buy they enclose things? Like, sometimes it'll be like a special making of DVD or the Hellboy.
Right, or the most famous was the extra Anchorman DVD. The second cut of the film.
The Hellboy DVD came with a Hellboy action figure that was really cool. So guess what Rome comes with?
Severed head.
A Rome wine stopper.
Yep.
Which, in my day, we used to call a cork.
Cork, yep.
It comes with a cork, but they call it a wine stopper, as if it's something fancy. It's a cork that says Rome
on it. No, a wine stopper is a fancy thing because people now drink wine, but they won't drink the whole bottle, so you don't want to have the liquor evaporate. So you don't want to put the cork back in because it's not made to do that.
Right, but it's just a cork.
It's a reusable cork, essentially, yes.
It's a cork, and it's called a wine stopper, and it's supposed to be, and you know what?
But it's not made of cork.
I used it.
And what? What are you drinking?
I started.
to justify the wine stopper.
But I bought a box of wine, and it turns out that the cork doesn't fit. It doesn't fit in the box.
Did you buy Franzia?
I bought Franzia, and I opened it just like I was opening a big carton of milk, and I just started drinking it like
was
that.
Was this your first ever box of wine?
I didn't buy a box of wine.
Oh.
I haven't used my. You know what? If I used my wine stopper, it wouldn't be worth any money when I sell it on eBay in 25 years.
This is very true.
Of course, it's really still true. In mint condition. And she removes the golden ring upon her finger. She throws it in. All right, so Ryan, before we get into our next segment, I believe you have something to read.
Well, as some people may or may not know, the world of comic book blog podcasting isn't the most lucrative. So to cover expenses, like I got a headphones, and we got to pay for some software, and the limos and everything.
And the horse.
Good Lord. I arranged some sponsorships, and here's the first one we got. So okay. They've sent me this ad copy I have to read. Ranger Tom's Ground Turkey. The finest ground turkey in the Southwest. 24% less bone than other area ground turkeys. Available online at www.bestgroundturkey.com. This ad is atrocious.
I think that's a fake ad. I think you wrote that.
I don't know. Why would you say 24% less bone than other areas? Why would you mention that?
How much money did you get from these people? Because I think you just made that up.
They said they're going to PayPal me $15.
Did you PayPal yourself $15?
No, they said they would. I have an email, and they said, this guy sent me this copy.
Because I'm pretty sure you can't buy ground turkey over the internet.
Well, why not?
Well, you
it
can only buy
it. Legitimate.
Yeah, you can buy Canadian
ground turkey. On the
surface,
you have to admit, at first glance, it seems somewhat legitimate.
Yeah, it did. It's up until the 24% less bone, because that, to why, me, that's too specific.
But it seems so arbitrary, too. Why 24%? And why less bone?
You don't even want to mention bone exactly. Yeah. It's just, you know, you don't mention bone. You don't.
Yeah.
You just don't want to deal with. You don't mention sharks when you go near the water. You don't mention bone when you're talking about ground.
No.
Fishing. It's just.
No, you shouldn't mention, like, shark surfing boots.
Everyone knows that, yeah. You know, 24% less shark attacks.
So let me just. Let me just check here. Yeah, that money didn't go to my PayPal account.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen any money on this yet. But maybe next week.
You know, this podcast is not working out as well as I hoped.
Well, maybe next week you get the big sponsorship. Sponsorship's available.
We already have Meltdown sponsoring us, who it turns out they haven't even paid for the books yet or received
Like this sponsor. Gee, deadbeat sponsors, huh?
So, and Sequoia is going to sponsor us, and they don't pay us any money either. So far we have three sponsors, and we haven't seen a dime.
Yeah.
So,
again, we can't take sponsorship from any other... Let's just say ground poultry, just to be safe.
Yeah, that whole industry is really...
We can't have any competing sponsors.
Yeah.
So, cause it's like Coke or Pepsi. Whoever calls us first, we prefer Coke.
Or Nike.
Oh, I mean, come on. What are we going to do? Adidas? Good Lord.
Well, we could do LA Gear if they'll have us.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The next segment I thought we might do is a little discussion of... a movie trailer I saw at the cinema called Beowulf.
Yes.
Now, you'd mentioned this last time, and I had not seen the trailer, but I have seen it. And it makes one wonder if they're going to rotoscope and they're going to use that high-quality CGI that looks like people made out of wax walking around.
Why not use actual people?
Why not use actual people? I guess there's a benefit because you can be like, hey, here's Anthony Hopkins on this day, and here's Angelina Jolie on another day, and look, now we can put them together in the same scene. Or you can just schedule them on the same day.
But you know what else you can do, Tim, is say you can't schedule them on the same day. You can still film them in reality on different days and edit them together.
Yeah,
that's
you
how
don't
filmmaking
need to
works.
Give them that waxy sheen, and I don't understand.
No.
It doesn't look good. It looks worse than animation and worse than real life. And I'm gonna go see it 100 times.
That's a lot.
Because I'm in protest. That I will see it.
That's
and
a really
I'll complain.
Bad. That's a really bad protest.
You know what I'll probably do is I'll probably complain on the internet.
That's the best place to complain because you have tons of people who will listen.
And I'll probably complain anonymously at a lot of different blogs.
Yeah.
And hopefully
and
that
try,
will
and try to
the
put
future.
In some profanity or a really cutting, sarcastic remark.
I will. I'll start that tomorrow, actually, once we get our sponsorship from Adidas. All right. Then you have a segment, though. What was the segment you wanted to do?
Oh, this is a segment I came up with. It's called People Who Are Faster or Slower Than Me.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a game we'll play, and you will choose a celebrity or famous person, or person I know even, that the listeners would know, and I will tell you whether they are faster than slower than me in a foot race. Say we were to run 100 meters, whom I would beat, whom would defeat me.
Wait, I name someone, and then you say your comparative speed?
Yeah, you pick a person,
all right.
Try to stump me, if you will, with a celebrity or something, and I will tell you if I'm fat definitively. There's no doubt. Like, I'm not just making this up. This is actually, we could race tomorrow. This is what would happen. I'd either beat them or they'd beat me, and I can tell you what would happen.
Okay, so I'm trying to pick someone who I think might tie with you, and then you will definitively prove that you would crush them or be crushed by them.
Or you could try to throw me off with someone who maybe you'd think off the top of your head I would be slower than, but I would reveal why I'd be faster.
That would be shocking, and probably the podcast audience would not care, but we're going to do it anyway.
All right, let's go.
So here's the first one.
Eight people.
Eight people. I'm going to keep track of this on my internet website notebook pad.
All right. I'm going to use a legal pad.
I have a piece of paper with drawings on it.
All right.
All right. The first person that you may not be faster than, Seth Rogen.
Absolutely faster than. Because if you watch the trailer for Superbad, he falls down in pursuit of young teenagers as a cop. And I've never done that. I would not give up. I'm not a quitter. And that's why I've never gone to rehab for any of my problems. And I would be faster than him. And I'm actually, my wife keeps saying I'm slimmer than him now.
You're slimmer than Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
That should be actually the name of our podcast. Two guys.
Yeah,
slimmer than Seth Rogen.
So we got Seth Rogen. All right.
Seth Rogen's number one. And
I would be him.
I'm going to keep track of the rankings here, too. So,
okay.
Rogan, you are a W. Number two, Deion Sanders.
Oh, he'd kill me.
Really? He's old. He's like 70.
He is, I believe, probably 37.
Okay.
38. And he is one of the fastest men ever to play professional football. And at the position that the most fast players played, cornerback. So he is significantly faster than
so
me.
So far we have a Hollywood celebrity, we have an NFL superstar, and we're going to go number three.
Okay.
Fat Mama from Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
I would kill her.
She's got donuts.
I would kill her. Yeah, I'd kill her, and I'd then eat the donuts.
That is strong words. I'm actually going to post this on her website, and then she might challenge you.
I will. I'll do it. I'll put it on YouTube.
Another comic book personality, Grant Morrison.
He would beat me.
He has magical powers.
Yeah, he would beat me. I believe he's Irish, right?
He's Scottish, from the Isle of Scotland.
Oh, really?
He might teleport to the finish line, and then you'll be defeated.
No, I'd worried he'd challenge me to some sort of Highland battle, like a hilly race, and he'd know the terrain more and beat me.
Yeah.
So Grant Morrison would beat me.
Number five, The Flash.
Which one?
Wally West. He's the current incarnation of The Flash. He came back to life or something.
Would you
beat The Flash in a foot race?
The Flash would beat me.
A bold statement, my friend.
Yeah, The Flash would beat me. I would even... Yeah, I'd bet money on him. Flash. Three more to go, all right.
My daughter, Lauren.
I would kill her. I would destroy her, and I'd run backwards half the time, and I'd be like, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Oh, that's right, because you're three, and I'd kill her.
I'm going to tell the listeners about this. Did I tell you about our foot race that we had in our front yard?
You and your daughter, Lauren, who's three?
And my son, Andrew, who's six, and my wife.
Yes.
Did I tell you the foot race competition?
You did not, no.
I must have told you. I'll tell the listeners, because it's just ridiculously stupid. So we're playing out in the front yard, and we're, like, running around. And then Andrew is competitive, and he wants to race everybody. He thinks he can actually – he's six, and he thinks he can beat any adult. And he cries when he loses.
Oh,
and it's like,
boy.
You know how, like, when you run against little kids, like, you kind of let them win, like, you jog?
Because your strides are three times the length of theirs.
So you obviously are not going to just destroy them.
I would crush your daughter.
So, but he wanted to race for real, and he was talking trash. So obviously I ran and beat him.
Right.
And then my wife wanted to race me, and she doesn't exercise ever. And, you know, I mean, she played Ultimate Frisbee in college with us once, I think, and that was the last time she ran. And, you know, she's not overweight or anything. She just doesn't exercise. She just, like, you know, is not an active person. But she wanted to race me, and, of course, she lost because, you know,
right.
I'm somewhat active and I can run. So right. She decided to race me, and she's like, how about you carry Andrew piggyback, and I'll race you that way? And I'm like, I'll still beat you.
You'll still crush her.
No, I didn't, because really? When you have, he's like 60 pounds now. He's a bit, you know, he's a tall 6-year-old.
Yeah.
When you run with someone on your back, like Luke Skywalker carrying Yoda, and you don't have Jedi powers, your center of gravity is
off.
Oh,
that's true. You should have carried it on your shoulders.
So I start running, and when I run, obviously I lean forward. And so all of a sudden my center of gravity, and I can't stop because I'm holding on to him, right, with my arms on my back, and I'm falling forward very quickly because I'm running as fast as I can. And so I'm trying to run faster to get my feet under my center of gravity. All that makes me do is it makes me fall faster. So I go flying face first onto my front yard, which is covered with sticks and everything, and I'm trying to hold on to him, but I don't know if I should let him go to put my hands down to break my own fall. If I hold on to him, am I actually like trapping him? So I try to hold on to him, and both of our faces go boom, face down at the front lawn, and Judy wins the race. It was the worst idea ever.
Wow. All right,
he actually, after we hit the ground, he went flying like a catapult too. So he not only hit his face, then he flew off. So then number seven is
all right.
Is you versus me with Andrew on my back.
I would kill you.
I think I've mastered the balance, though. I don't know.
I'd still kill you.
That gives you, by my tally, that gives you 4 wins and 3 losses. So number 8
it's pointless at this point. You
could
play
be crucial.
Series,
it
yeah.
could tie it up. And, number 8, I think, well, we're going to have to go with a zombie.
Okay, from which film?
Okay, you have to ask, because obviously zombies differ.
If they're from Dawn of the Dead, the remake, some of those are very fast, and they would eat me.
Sam Jones, star of Flash Gordon, as a zombie.
In
he comes back to life via voodoo. Someone uses voodoo, brings Sam Jones back to life after he dies. Would you beat him in a foot race?
But he's a zombie from that era?
He's just a real-life zombie. I think I've stumped you. Is there a prize?
I think I could beat him.
See, it's not definitive, so
I
don't think...
No, you know what? I would beat zombie Sam Jones in a foot race, and we'll do it tomorrow. Bring it on!
I think I won the pound of ground turkey.
Nope.
I think so. You know what? You're going to have to...
I'm supposed to get... Actually, we're supposed to get 3 pounds of that each.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that being shipped?
It's FedEx. They have like they put dry ice in the package, they said, and it's like Omaha Steaks, the same thing, only you know it's ground turkey. And they don't put it in patties, it's like a big lump.
I'm gonna use that to make blintzes. I don't even know what a blintz is, but I'm sure it has ground turkey in it.
Blintz usually has like cheese in the middle.
And
or like
turkey.
You know, cream cheese or something in the middle. That's a blintz.
I've heard of ground turkey blintzes before.
I don't think you're thinking of pierogies. And I wonder, baby, why don't you cry? Baby, why don't you? Baby, why don't you cry? I wonder, baby, why don't you cry? Baby, why don't you? Baby, why don't you cry?
So this segment is our comic book segment, and I was telling you that there's this endangered species storyline running through the X-Men, and the whole idea is that all the mutants are gone except for 198 of them, and the Scarlet Witch got rid of all of them during the House of M crossover, and she said no more mutants and blah, blah, blah. But the point is that this crossover is making me buy all these titles. So I'm buying X-Factor, Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, New X-Men, which is like the new mutants but with new kids, and maybe something. I don't know. I'm buying all these titles that I don't normally buy.
Excalibur?
No, it doesn't cross over to Excalibur because Excalibur is a British.
Oh, interesting. The ocean stops it, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what happens there. It does not cross the Atlantic. So the premise is it's these 8 or 10 page backup stories where the Beast is going around trying to find some cure for the mutant situation so the mutants can make mutant babies and the mutants won't die off in some generation. But as I was saying, it's just he goes to the High Evolutionary and he says, will you help me? And the High Evolutionary says no. And he goes to some other mad genius, Mr. Sinister, and Mr. Sinister's not there, and all his files are gone. And that's it. every single episode of this is him just visiting some other guy. And here's the catch, though. He's not doing it alone. It's him teamed up with the Dark Beast.
Oh, I see.
Do you know the Dark Beast?
They're both failures.
The Dark Beast is the Age of Apocalypse alternate universe version of Beast, which is the Beast with no morals. So he's just like the Beast, except he has no sense of right and wrong, so he'll conduct experiments a la a Nazi doctor.
I see. And he's got great agility, so he can get out of any tricky situation.
He does, and he's furry and cute.
I bet he's a devil with the
but
ladies.
But dark. He is right. Sexy.
Yeah.
He sometimes does not wear pants.
But that sounds like a pretty boring book if he's just going around and asking for help.
But that's the point. Like, I'm buying the crossover. And then if you buy the regular series, like New X-Men. So
I'm kicking ass, guys. They're all saying yes. That'd be great.
He doesn't interact with the rest of the X-Men. He's just off on his own. So, like, when you read the New X-Men, the New X-Men has this ongoing, like, five-part story arc about Ileana Rasputin. Remember her? Colossus's sister? Magic?
Yes, I do.
The CK?
Yes.
Well, she died a long time ago, and so they think she's back, but it's actually, like, a demon version of her, whatever. But the point is, this endangered species crossover starts, like, during the third or fourth part of that Magic crossover or five-part story. So even though I'm buying the New X-Men, I've missed the first three parts of that story anyway. So and the backup stories suck. So what am I buying all these X-Men titles for, and why do I keep buying them? I don't know.
Because it's a fan of comic books.
I love the comics. And I can't stop. Simple. And here's the thing. Once I start buying the endangered species crossover,
you can't stop.
Okay, so I'm going to, like, stop it halfway through. Well, now I'm halfway through. I might as well finish it out, which is ridiculous because that's, like, another $30.
Yeah, you're a completist.
So there's that going on.
You're a victim of all or nothing thinking.
And then, so World War Hulk is going on, too, in the Marvel Universe, which is Hulk comes back from Planet Hulk, and now he's mad, so he's going to smash stuff, and that's it.
I thought it would be better if he was just fighting World War II. That's way cooler.
He's going to go back in time.
Yeah.
No, he does not. He actually fights all the superheroes and destroys Manhattan. But here's the thing. It's just Hulk smashing for three issues so far. And I told Andrew, who's six, and I said, Andrew, do you want to read this? It's World War Hulk. And I showed him the covers. And I'm like, Hulk comes back and he's really mad because in Planet Hulk, like, his whole world got blown up and he's mad at the superheroes who sent him there. And so he's just going to smash everything. And he asked me what happened. I'm like, Hulk smashes stuff. And he's like, that sounds dumb. So apparently, from the perspective of a six-year-old, it does not have enough complex characterization and subtle
plot. But he
plot
doesn't
nuance.
Understand the depth, the layers of depth of Hulk smashing Manhattan with the 9/11 ramifications and the the whole thing.
Yeah, it's an allegory, just like the Civil War, where Captain America was assassinated, just like Martin Luther King, during 9/11.
Right.
And I believe Robert
Stalin
Kennedy
rose to power.
Formed the New X-Men. I don't.
Right.
Maybe it was the New Avengers. I'm not really. I didn't really pay attention to history. I mostly drew pictures of Flash Gordon.
He was a famous historical figure.
And that's the
couldn't
other thing we have.
Without him.
The final thing we have to talk about is the end of Flash Gordon, which we talked about last week with the high fives and the thumbs up. And
yes.
The end of Flash Gordon is the little hoverbot is about to destroy them, maybe because Ming's dead, and nope, that's not what happens. They say, congratulations, Flash Gordon, you're awesome, whatever, I don't know. And then Flash Gordon jumps up into the fisheye lens and says, yeah, freeze frame, cue the music. That's the end of the movie, except for the little epilogue after. Yeah. But, I mean, and Lorenzo Semple in the commentary or in his interview says that they didn't have an ending, and that was Sam Jones' idea to jump up into the camera and say, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the famous compromise ending. Just an actor saying, like, just zoom in on me and we'll freeze it for a while.
Well, I don't know. I think that was the original ending of Casablanca.
Yeah. It was the famous ending of 400 Blows. It's the very same thing.
Yeah. It's kind of a combination of both.
But the best, of course, is in the Naked Gun and Police Squad, where they had the freeze frame. But
they're not actually frozen.
But it was just, the background people were still moving around. They
and
pour coffee in and it overflow.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Every movie should end with that freeze frame.
Yeah, that's why I like the movie 8 Mile, because it was such a great 80s movie, and it ended with a freeze frame. Well, it should have. That's why I said it would have been better if it ended with a freeze frame.
We didn't really talk about comics very much.
There was like a minute.
We like comics.
You gotta leave them wanting more.
But here's the thing that you've told me secretly, that because you're reading my blog, you want to buy all these comics, and now you're actually buying some. You're buying this stuff.
I did.
And
I bought.
You know what you have to buy? You
stuff.
Have to buy Casanova. Just buy the Casanova hardcover.
I looked at it. I'm like, boy, that looks like something I'd like.
It might be a little off-putting at first because the art is very stylized.
It looks very blue.
Not,
and I'm a fan of Michael Mann, so that's
well, the first story arc that was collected in the hardcover, that's green, and it's not as green. It's like sort of a subdued green. It's not as bright and vibrant as that blue. But oh, did you read that comment on my Casanova number 8 post where the guy who was talking about the use of blue? He's like, all those people complaining about the blue in Casanova number 8. He's like, their puny optic nerves just can't process the awesome.
I didn't read that.
I thought that was a great. That should be.
I didn't.
That should be the
that's a t-shirt.
Endorsement.
Yeah,
that's a t-shirt. Your puny optic nerves can't process the awesome.
Yeah.
That's genius. Well, I think that's it for this week. Do you have anything
else
to say?
All right, so thanks again, listeners. Thanks again, Ranger Tom's Ground Turkey, best ground turkey in the Southwest.
I thought we were not thanking them because they kind of sucked and aren't real.
Well, they still promise, like I said, 3 pounds of turkey each and $15 to my PayPal account. So,
because I checked their website, and it was an Angel Fire website. So I'm not sure that they're legit.
They told me it was pending. There was a server issue. I don't know their jargon.
Yeah.
See you next week, folks.
They spelled turkey wrong on the.
Well, let's end the show, Tim.
I think
we're good. People know it's people have enjoyed the show.
3 days later, in a bar in southern Mississippi, she meets a man by the name of Charles Lee. She introduces herself to him as Lee Charles. What a coincidence, he says. And a week later, they get married.
Music for this episode is provided by Jim White. A few corrections. I should not have said same exact when I didn't mean either word. And I used actually way too many times. Next week's episode will be better.
And by the time they find his body, 6 weeks later, well, she's 1,000 miles away.
So they had the super bad move of the week. That was the big thing. The super bad move of the week. Like, why would you ever want a sponsor called Super Bad?